Hey, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. We're the hosts of True Believers, a comic book podcast, a weekly show about all things comics.
Welcome to episode 13. In episode 12, we questioned if Beast Boy truly does love Raven. And in this episode, we're returning to the Marvel multiverse for part two of What If?
Time, space, reality, listen, and ponder the question. What if? As our loyal listeners know from last time, What If is an animated anthology series based on the homonymously titled Marvel comic series, What If. The What If stories debuted in 1977, and since then they've been featured in miniseries with a few standout standalone issues along the way. So
we kind of left off on episode 3 last time, so we're picking it up and doing the last 6 episodes.
We meant to either stop on 4 or 5, but we're not good at time, so it didn't work out
that way. As you guys know, we kind of fucked up a lot. Who's shocked? Not us.
But you know what we are good at? Space. Time. Reality. No, we're not good at time, so I'm
not good at time. Not at all. So episode 4, Christian.
What if Doctor Strange didn't lose his hands? I'm going to embarrass myself in front of our fans now. I didn't watch the Doctor Strange movie, so I don't know what the hell that was about, honestly. But it was kind of funny watching that woman die over and over again while he, like, tried everything to stop it. Not like, in a sadistic way, but, like,
not ha-ha funny, but, like, dang. How did that happen so many times?
Oh, my God. Like, one time he even stood her up. The fact that he stood her up that one time and she still, like, she died of a heart attack or she just collapsed or something.
He tried so
hard. Then we got pizza and a robber came into the pizza parlor.
But damn.
The multiverse said that coochie was too good for her to live.
It's too good.
So Doctor Strange starts, he goes down this dark path. Yeah. Also, this was the first episode I had ever noticed that the Watcher appears in all of the large background scenes where people are outside. I didn't notice that he literally was watching the entire time.
It was, you just noticed that? Because I think he was in all of them. I don't know.
He was, apparently.
Huh. I don't know. I kind of enjoyed the concept of this one. I liked what they were doing here, and it kind of brought I don't even know what I'm trying to say. It was good. I liked it.
I like those Groundhog's Death situations, like from Happy Death Day, where no matter what, okay, this is the end of the day. Let's try something new. He really tried to use the little time stone that he wears in that necklace.
Over and over.
Oh, and then so the ancient one, the white lady with the bald head, told him. Oh, man, not our vampire supreme. My bad, girl. Like I said, I really didn't watch Doctor Strange, and I'm not interested in watching it. So I had missed out a lot of the movie, I feel. A lot of the episode, probably. So he goes, and he's like, you know what? No, I'm gonna bend time and reality. So to alter a fixed point in time. No, they said something else. Fixed point in time is from Doctor Who.
It was something around there, though. It's like you can't change a point in time. Or there's certain points of time that can't be altered or whatever because they have to be how they are. And what's her butt? Amy Adams, I think?
No, it's Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams, the other Adams. The Adam. Anyways, so, yeah, she just had to die, I guess. I guess that was it. The universe said, no, this bitch has to die. But she doesn't even die in any of...
Listen, whoever... I think whoever wrote this episode really hates the movie The Notebook, probably almost as much as I do. Because they were like, nope, if we can't get Ryan, it's going to be you.
I don't know.
So he goes to study, like, of the forbidden arts, and he tries to summon a tentacle monster. That's too horny for me.
He does summon the tentacle monster.
Yeah, but it beats his ass the first time, so he starts summoning all kinds of other smaller monsters.
Because he figured out he could steal monster's magic to, like, boost his magic so he can change that one point in time. That was insane.
So he literally does this over and over again. Now, here's the kicker. Tell me why he finally summons the tentacle monster. He immediately closes the circle so that all the tentacles get cut off. And then he absorbs them through his various body pieces.
Orifices.
It wasn't even an orifice, because that's got to be a hole. Holes are the goals.
Holes are the...
But the tentacles went into, like, his arms and his neck. It was very creepy. And then he with every creature that he added on, he was turning into, like, some kind of amalgamation beast. And it was truly hideous and disgusting. And I don't know. And then you come out, and there's this guy that he met who was, like, the guardian of this knowledge. And he's like, oh, my God, dude, you're super old. And he's like, yeah, you've been back there doing that for, like, 100 years, keeping yourself young.
Yeah, he's just been stealing monsters' powers for 100 years. Maybe more. I don't know. It's ridiculous. But I've said this before. I was like, Doctor Strange only needs one slight push to get evil.
I told you, Doctor Strange, Reed Richards, Hank Pym.
Those are the ones. And look what happened. Evil Sorcerer Supreme.
First of all, the fact that Hank Pym flipped twice in this series.
Oh, also, all these monsters that he's been taking, it's obviously making him go a little bit crazy, like taking their magic. So he gets a little bit evil towards the end. All this to save this one girl's life.
And then here's the thing that's dedication. Crazy. He's not even the only Doctor Strange of this universe anymore, because when he went out to go study these dark arts, apparently the Ancient One split him in half and added a second possibility in that universe. So there's the regular Doctor Strange who defeated Dormammu and is, you know, he's like, okay, Christine did. I can move on. That's really sad or whatever. So the two Doctor Strangers have to battle it out, because the evil Doctor Strange needs to be made whole before he can alter the universe and bring Christine back to life. So they battle it out, right? You know, obviously their capes even battle it out.
Yeah, because he's got a cooler cape. The Dark Strange does.
It's a dark cape.
It's like a darker colored version of the Cloak of Levitation. Yeah.
It
was a look. That was the way to do it.
Except if you're gonna turn purple under eye bags, Doctor Strange was serving looks.
He was tired. Yeah. That bitch was he's 100 years of just absorbing monsters for their magic. How strange. But anyway, so Evil Strange obviously ends up winning. But what happens is he obviously saves Christine, right? He takes her out of that point of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he, in doing so, he loses control of his physical form. Oh, also, while he's doing this, the entire universe.
My final form.
While he's doing this, like, while he's making these plans and gathering the monsters, the fabric of reality is shredding.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Getting fucked up.
Everything is turning into goop. Like, literally, it's just fading away. So, when he finally saves Christine, right, like, literally, the Watcher is in the background begging him. Like, he's like, oh, he's going down the wrong path. I could intervene, but I must not.
It's very dramatic. But even at the end, like, I guess Strange has become so powerful, he becomes kind of aware of the Watcher watching him, right?
Well, no, it's not even that. It's that the universe is collapsing in on itself at this point. So he's holding Christine, who has become afraid of him because she sees his monstrous form. So she, like, knocks herself out. She's like, that was me being unconscious. Y'all didn't see that. I'm sorry. But so when he's the only parts of the universe left are his little pocket of reality that he's able to keep open with his magic, he's begging the Watcher, who is there. He appears to him because I guess there are no consequences at this point. And he's like, you know, he's like, I'm sorry. Like, I understand that this is wrong. So many people shouldn't have to suffer. Like, just because of this, like, please don't punish them, punish me. And he's like, do you think if I could punish you and not them that
after everything you've done, because he's been warned, you don't ever mess with that one fixed point in time or whatever it was called. He's been warned multiple times by everybody.
He got warned by the Ancient One. He got warned by the man who had all the knowledge. Like, he got warned by himself.
Even, yeah, just everybody was out there like, don't do this. And he's like, you know what? Y'all are wrong. I'm right. Even though y'all are a lot smarter than me, stronger than me, more powerful, smarter, older, whatever.
Somehow I thought you were going to start doing the Jaden Smith rap from Never... Shout Never or whatever. Never Say Never from The Karate Kid. You know, he's like, he's bigger than me, taller than me.
Oh my God.
His arm's a little bit longer than me.
If I would have known it off the top of my head, but I don't.
No, my little brother had a Justin Bieber face, so I've seen The Karate Kid movie like a million times and I know a lot about it.
Yeah, but that's just how it kind of ends, though. It ends.
That's just it. The universe is destroyed.
He's got like a passed out Christine.
No, because Christine even turns to goop.
Oh, that's right. I was like, she dies, doesn't she? But what, you know, Because it's just, you fade into non-existence. That's it. That's what happened there. Except for Strange.
It's just Strange all alone. Because I guess at this point he exists completely outside of space and time. Which is why he was able to see the Watcher. Then we go to episode 5.
What if zombies?
This was the dumbest fucking shit I've ever seen. I'm glad you said it. Fucking life. I don't like zombie shit anyway. I think it's stupid and I think it's a waste of time. But like, it was so funny that I have spent years telling anybody who would listen that Doctor Strange. First of all, I love the regular comic book Doctor Strange, despite having not seen the movie. But I think everybody on the Illuminati roster, even T'Challa, I think there are 3 events away from becoming a supervillain. I don't want to say, I say one for most of them. Because most of them are already highly sketchy. I'm saying T'Challa is 3. First of all, the way T'Challa just divorced Storm, that was his second. He moved up 1 and 2, despite having done nothing before that.
Yeah.
He won more event away.
So the whole premise of this one, though, was... Who was it? Hank Pym?
No. Yeah.
It was Hank Pym that went into the...
Hank Pym, I don't know what happens in the Ant-Man movies either. I still have to watch them. I'm not boycotting them, though, like I am Doctor Strange. I just haven't seen them. So he goes to the quantum realm to bring back Jan Van Dyne, who's his wife, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer, or as our flatmate Georgie says, Mikkel Poffivier.
She does?
She said it by accident last night. It was great.
What does that mean?
She just mispronounced it, and she was like, oh, I mean Michelle Pfeiffer.
Whoa. I love that. Okay, Georgie.
Mikkel Poffivier, yeah. Shout out to you, Georgie.
Mikkel Poffivier. That's the best way to say Michelle Pfeiffer I have ever heard.
There's no movie. It's no Michelle Poffivier. Mikkel Poffivier.
Mikkel Poffivier. Anyways, so yeah, Mikkel Poffivier is in...
The Quantum Realm. Apparently what they didn't know about the Quantum Realm is that her mind had been attacked.
She's got a virus.
A parasite, yeah, from the Quantum Realm. Which is zombieism. Now, these ain't your granddaddy zombies, okay? Because they could think, they could use powers, they could use tools, and they fast as fuck.
It was so stupid.
When they come back from this quantum realm, obviously Hank Pym has been affected, which, not shocked that he would bring back evil onto the world.
Not shocked.
Completely unsurprised.
Not Hank Pym.
Yeah.
Not our evil scientist dad.
Yeah. Whatever. But anyway... So this was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life, because as soon as they hopped their zombie asses off of this little quantum spaceship, why did they leap right at Scott Lang? Well, no, they leap right at Hope Van Dyne, and she minimizes immediately.
And then Scott,
when I tell you they rip Scott apart, like,
yeah, he got. But they work the same way as zombies. It's like if you get, it's your typical zombie. Like if you were to get bit, then you turn into a zombie, or if you get scratched, you'll turn into a zombie.
Yeah.
None of this really makes any sense, because what... What kind of parasite is in the quantum realm like that?
I don't know.
This didn't make sense. These are comic books.
Does it really have to make sense?
A little bit. I would like to have some kind of continuity.
For this to be an anthology show that was like linked together, we need some continuity.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so they doing zombie shit. Bruce Banner gets that back to Earth from when they sent him on the Bifrost or whatever, when Heimdall sent him to Earth to tell them that Thanos was on his way. Ain't nobody there. He lands in Doctor Strange's crib. Ain't nobody there. He put on Doctor Strange clothes. He come outside. He like, oh shit, hey Avengers. They all zombies. Wait, no, because Ebony Maw and the big one, the one that's not Proxima Midnight.
Black Coal. Or the Coal, I think is what they call them in the movies.
Yeah, okay. So they're like, we are the children of Thanos, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, the Doctor Strange portal come out. And guess who it is? Iron Man. He like, hell yeah, Avengers is here, and tell me why.
He turns around.
No, it looks like they jumping him down. He like, okay guys, that could be enough when I tell you they was eating.
Not in the good way.
They literally chowed down and ate them to death.
I mean, if they would have done that, you know, no more Thanos problems.
It was Wong. No, that was different than Thanos problems, as we saw at the end of the episode. It was Wong, Doctor Strange, Iron Man's bitch ass, like, just being zombies. They go through the rest of the episode. You find out General Quay is still alive. Wakanda is still standing because they have impenetrable force fields. And nobody really knows where it is.
Yeah. I'm surprised that they would survive a zombie apocalypse. And Okoye, as smart as she is, she could have solved this problem. I just think...
Exactly.
Whoever wrote this show doesn't know what they're doing. I was like, first of all,
the Dormilaje, they roll together. So yeah. I was like, why is their general out alone to look for King T'Challa? That doesn't even make sense.
Not Okoye. Sure. Shuri could have solved this problem.
Yep.
Shuri would have solved this problem.
I think it's so funny that like MCU Shuri is all technology and comic Shuri is all like tradition.
I like comic Shuri because she's all like magic and science too. You're not going to stop this bitch from being smart.
I mean, but period. T'Challa is like the more modern one out of both of them.
Yeah, I agree.
She's like, nope, don't need that.
I like that in the MCU though. Remember how she's like watching vines and stuff?
Yeah.
That was so funny. But that's irrelevant. Either way, Shuri should have been able to solve this problem, but.
Well, they probably didn't have, first of all. I guarantee you, out of all the places where zombieism won't go, it's going to be everywhere in Africa and also Texas.
You know, they're not going to have like a contingency just in case, though.
But all them hillbillies with guns.
That didn't work this time. They had Iron Man. And he got zombified.
First of all, the fact that the Avengers, the Watcher be snitching on him, y'all. And he was like, oh, the Avengers' heroism is actually what doomed the planet. Because with their powers, the fact that they could still use all their tools and stuff, I was like, no. So, okay, who's left? It's Spider-Man, Happy Hogan, General Okoye, some random guy named Hulk, or not Hulk, Hank, Kurt.
I don't remember.
I think his name was Kurt.
He dies pretty quick.
Yeah, and then Dr. Banner. I don't know. So they end up in a train station. Oh, and Hope, of course.
Hope Van Dyne.
Because you can't kill a bad bitch.
Uh-uh.
So they have a whole ordeal. I don't even know how to explain it. They get on this train. Bucky is alive too. Bucky.
Oh, yeah, he has a shower scene. I was like, how are you going to thirst trap a fucking cartoon like this?
I don't know.
It was.
That was what that was.
They had like steam just over his little, you know, Bucky bits. And they put a fucking shower steamy scene.
Yeah.
With the cartoon character. Like, it's ridiculous.
First of all, and he didn't have no haircut. So he wasn't even the Bucky that appeals to me.
And they still try to thirst him.
I was like, where is his shave and the haircut?
Mm-mm. But even after that, you know, Happy dies right after the shower scene. I know that.
Yeah, when they're in this weird train station. I don't know how to, like, listen, this episode was stupid. Oh, also, Vision's bitch ass was sending out help signals. Or he's like, hey, you know, another survivor camp, blah, blah. And Vision is like, yeah, the Mind Stone, zombies don't like it. So they just stay away from me or whatever. And they're like, oh. And they look at the frequency and they're like, oh, it looks like somebody else also answered this distress signal. So then Bucky, you know, came mind his business. Oh, also Bucky killed Steve and Okoye killed Sam, I think.
Yeah, on the train.
Okoye killed him in the station. Sam in the station. Steve on the train. Because Steve went to work on Sharon.
Steve had the time that day.
What? He really did. It was like, he was literally like sitting there beating her with the shield. Bop, bop, bop. I was like, what do you think this is? Episode 4 of Daredevil? Or whichever one that was with the bowling ball. You know, I told you I never finished that show because that scarred me for life. I was like.
That was a good show, though. But this one was not a good show. I hated this episode so much.
I don't know. And also, okay, so bitch has Vision.
Oh, yeah. This is the only important thing
that happened. Was trapping people. Like, T'Challa literally had one leg. So I was like, oh, T'Challa's not a zombie. I was like, why is he sitting there like this? Because Vision was feeding people to zombie Wanda because he was like, yeah, the Mind Stone. He managed to cure Scott Lang's decapitated head in a very Futurama way. But he was like, yeah, Wanda really can't be cured because she's too powerful. And they were like, why didn't you kill her? He was like, I can't bear to. And then he's like, okay, so I'm gonna give you this stuff and y'all gonna go to Wakanda to work on a cure. With the Mind Stone. And they were like, okay, okay. And then he was like, yeah, I have to atone for my sins or something. So you know what this bitch ass android does? He pulls the Mind Stone out of his own head and, like, dies. Like, bitch, we need your living body to keep the zombies away.
If nothing else, Vision is stupid powerful. So why would you...
Why would you do that?
Yeah, we could have used you because of that, Janet, or Jan, gets... She's like, okay, bigified. I have to save myself. I have to save everybody. I'm going to sacrifice myself. And she
Janet already sacrificed herself. I'm sorry. She got scratched when they were going to have to... Oh, yeah. Like, when they ran out of...
Either way.
I don't know. We're not explaining this well. Okay, this episode sucked. Okay.
This episode sucked. There's nothing happened in this episode. The only thing that mattered is that zombie Wanda.
It didn't even get brought back around.
Yeah, that's it did. The last episode.
No, all the zombies just fell on Ultron.
Zombie Wanda showed up and she's like, ah, and then dies. It's stupid. This one was stupid.
We don't see if they solve the apocalypse. Because these episodes, fun fact, you guys all connect together. We don't even see how.
Loosely.
I mean, yeah, they...
Some of them very directly, but others are very loose, like this one. It ends, you know, they move on, whatever, whatever.
They're just like, we're flying to Wakanda.
Yeah. And then Thanos shows up. Zombie Thanos.
Yep.
Like, what the hell was that?
I don't know.
Because he had his fucking... He still had the gauntlet on.
Yeah, Infinity Gauntlet on.
So what was the whole point of this episode? What I don't get
is that how people turn into zombies in this and they immediately start rotting.
Yeah, that's true. They do do that. I don't get how they still had, like, a mental capacity, but all they wanted to do was eat other people.
Listen, I could believe Wanda because I believe that bitch has life after death. I could believe that. But everybody else, I'm like, you telling me Tony Stark's stupid ass is still going to have the higher function to be able to operate the entire Iron Man suit as a zombie? This man didn't even figure out war was bad until he was 40.
And it doesn't even make sense that they'd have their powers because how do you die?
You know you wanted to laugh at that.
I kind of, you know, fuck Iron Man. And I mean that too. This episode made no sense. I hated this episode. And it's like they were just trying to do something that was, like, shocking and would make you think about it and talk about it, you know, but it didn't work.
And I feel like zombies, like, that's too big of a go-to for people. Like, people think, like, because of the popularity of The Walking Dead, I really think that's all it was.
Yeah.
Because they were like, ooh, characters you're already attached to, zombies, post-apocalyptic. I think the Ultron, What If Ultron 1 episode, like, episode 8, that did a better post-apocalypse for me.
Yeah, so overall, that one sucked. I hated watching this one.
0 out of 5, hated that.
There was 33 minutes of my life I'm not getting back.
Not at all. What's episode 6?
What if Killmonger rescued Tony Stark?
Now.
Christian has thoughts on this one. I hated this one, too.
I thought, I was like, you know what? Reparations.
I went in open-minded on this one. But it's so stupid.
It's like Killmonger, if he had like some, okay. First of all, I love the level of drama and I like that they brought back Michael B. Jordan to be Killmonger. I was like, okay.
Yeah, okay.
So Killmonger's whole plan was that, so when he showed up to stop Tony Stark, it's before he even becomes Iron Man, before he gets trapped in the desert. That is his point in time where the timeline shifts. That's his Nexus event, I guess.
And it works. This is actually a good idea. Like, he kind of went at this all the right ways, you know.
And they do the same thing with the Party Thor episode. That's the next episode, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so but because Tony Stark didn't get kidnapped in Afghanistan, he doesn't ever have the strength and, like, the perseverance to become Iron Man. The Iron Man era is over before it even starts.
And should.
Period. no, so Eric becomes, like, Eric saves him, and that reporter who's literally in every Iron Man thing, the hating one, she's like, Lieutenant Stevens, how are you in this province when your unit was, like, 450 clicks away? And he's like, yeah, no, I knew there was going to be an attack on Tony Stark because I was going undercover with the Ten Rings organization. And he was like, actually, I have the receipts. Mm-hmm. So he pulls up all the receipts on Obadiah's staying. He's like, oh, yeah, no. Here's the bank statements. Here are the communications. He pulled out the receipts. He went in Houston.
He did it all publicly. He released it all for the internet to look up immediately.
Literally at this press conference. He thought he was Natasha Romanoff.
He just not as good. I hate to say it, but not as good as Natasha.
No, because when she did that, she was like, if you're going to arrest me, arrest me. And she just walked out. I was like, bad. That's right, Natalia. Moves. Miss Romanova.
I'm glad that this side note, but I'm glad that they actually made her Russian in this, you know, because MCU never cared that Natasha's Russian. They would just, like, make little hints at it. Like, remember that time in the KGB? Like, no, this woman was a Russian spy. Like, there is no other way around it. But whatever. So that's something that this show did do, right?
And what I really like is that, like Belle, who plays Poison Ivy, I told you, is Natasha. I was like, yes, queen.
We love this actress who played Natasha.
She did that.
She did.
What do I say? Killmonger's plan, basically, he literally double and triple and sextuple crossed everybody. His first double cross, he double crossed Tony and set up Rhodey to die. And they had the nerve
that was wrong.
Here's the thing that made me mad. It's just like when he said that thing at the end of Black Panther, and I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Is this? He was like, how can you sit up and fight for, be willing to die for this country that oppresses you? I was like, bitch, you did it too. Literally. Aren't you a SEAL?
I was about to say that.
Oh, so you got all these little kill marks, and you're like, yeah, I went to Africa. I went to something. Iraq. I went everywhere. I took life from my own people just so I could kill you. I was like, sir, you realize that doesn't make sense, right? You can't use the master's tools to just dismantled the master's house. And that's very much what Kilpie can do. Like, I'm like, you can't use imperialism to combat imperialism.
Exactly. And he just kept, like you said, just double-crossing everybody.
Because he had double-crossed Tony and Rhodey with Claw. And then he ended up having to kill Tony. And then he was like,
yeah. Because Tony found out. And Tony's like, I'm going to kill you. And then he's like, oh, you thought you were going to kill me.
Period.
And then he kills Tony right then and there.
He said, unfortunately, he's like, all the people I thought I was going to have to kill, I was hoping it wouldn't have to be you. And I was like, boy, I was. Come on.
He double-crosses Happy at the beginning. Because Happy just wants this job that he ends up giving to Killmonger. Tony gives to Killmonger because, you know.
He's like, that was supposed to be my promotion. But Happy did get to lay out Obadiah Stane. So, you know.
You know.
It balanced out a little bit.
A little bit. Happy was wronged.
He very much was. And then, okay, so Pepper is like, they killed everybody. And so General Ross is bitch ass. Ugh. Who I already hated. Because he causes so many
problems.
I was like, okay, so your bitch ass is here. He's like, yeah, under the Patriot Act, I'm seizing everything at Stark Industries. Y'all all work for me. And I guess that's an extension of what happened in Iron Man 2, where they seized the Iron Man suit.
I don't remember that movie.
I only remember it because I remember I had kind of seen the first one, and I remember that Rhodey was light-skinned and he was dark-skinned. So I was like, oh.
Did they get a new Rhodey?
Yeah, the first one was Terrence Howard.
I don't remember that.
Terrence Howard, the sound of his voice when he's being, like, sweet. So that whole movie made me laugh because he was like, next time, you ride with me.
Man, I hated Iron Man movies. Sorry, everybody, but I hate Iron Man
movies. No, what's funny is I just think maybe, I don't know what it is about them that I don't like, but I think they're well made. They're directed by Jon Favreau. I really like his style. I like that he plays Happy Hogan. He was like, y'all ain't making this movie without me, bitch.
Respectfully.
Argue with your mama, because.
One thing he got was the bag from that.
And you know what, though? I feel like Blade and the Iron Man movies, they really did usher in, like, the MCU as we know it. So, like, he deserves a lot of the credit. I was proud of him for that.
So, what happens? Okay, so...
Okay, so he double-crossed Tony, Rhodey, and Happy in that first move. Then...
All at once. This all happened within, like, 3 minutes, y'all.
And Pepper, too. When Tony died, he made it look like... Oh, he killed him with the Wakandan spear. So, it made it look like that Wakanda was did a hit on Tony Stark. So, that's why they seized everything from Stark Industries, like, under the Patriot Act, and they were gonna go on attack Wakanda with these weapons that Tony the liberators made. That Tony and Killmonger made together. So he's and Killmonger is like, yeah, we're gonna go in and do this. Okay, so then he's working with Claw, who he set up Rhodey to go buy some brain vibranium from. Oh, and he kills T'Challa in the middle of that, too, because T'Challa comes to recover the vibranium. He kills T'Challa right then. And then, so when he gets to the border of Wakanda, guess what?
Claw's there because Claw goes with it because he's like, I know where to get to Wakanda. Yeah.
I think Andy Serkis is, I hope he's not South African, because if so, I'm like, this is uncomfortable. It's already uncomfortable because he's calling black people savages, but if he's South African, it's like, damn, that's even worse.
Yeah, so Claw takes him to Wakanda so to get more of the vibranium.
For the attack.
Oh, same thing, right?
Yeah.
Same thing. Send me the vibranium. Because vibranium is in these giant robot thingies, too.
Yeah, they have, like, a vibranium core.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Actually, really cool. Like, that's really smart, but that's a ridiculous plot. What happens? He kills Claw.
And then he does the same thing that he did in Black Panther, where he literally walked. He walked Claw's dead body. Like, first of all, I would have made him walk. I'm not carrying you that far.
Claw's a big dude.
Yeah. And he's a hefty man. He doesn't look like he's particularly tall, but he looks solid. So I'm not carrying you. You finna walk and I'm finna just kill you when we get about 30 minutes in. I'll kill you for 30 minutes, but not for 3 hours through the whole border tribe. Hell no. And he, you know, when he rolls up, he was like, you know, I'm N'Jadaka, son of Prince N'Jobu. I was like, all right, period. I was like, where's this going? The throne room opens up and he was like, I'm a loyal servant of Wakanda, you know. And then Queen Ramonda is like, what you mean Prince N'Jobu had a son? He had no son. And then King T'Chaka is like, yeah, he did. I just, you know, I concealed this all from you. This is what T'Challa should have been doing, because T'Challa reacted with suspicion at Black Panther, and I was like, no, if you had got ahead of everybody in the room and just said everything right before he came in, you weakened your position.
T'Challa didn't know, though, did he?
He knew. He found out, like, 2 minutes before.
Okay, yeah.
That's when you need to be telling the council before they bring him in, and then you need to embrace him and be like, oh, cousin, family, and King T'Chaka, he know the game.
T'Chaka did.
He was like, ooh, my nephew.
Yeah, because he walks in, and he says all that, whatever, and then T'Chaka's like, oh, my bad. Yeah, yeah, y'all. He is actually Wakandan.
He cleaned that out. So, he cleaned that up so quick. I was like, I'm proud of you, man. He said.
And respectfully, too. He's like, welcome.
He's like, family.
But then what happens? He gets fucking backstabbed by Killmonger too.
Oh, my God. So, Killmonger sets up all these vibranium liberators to, like, he's like, oh, once they get inside the force field, they'll be canceled out. And then they get canceled out, but he turns it back on because this motherfucker has a push start for him.
Well, I think he even canceled him. Like, the force field didn't do shit. I think he hit a button, right? That made him all
No, smart. The force field did cut him off. But he had a remote uplink because the Jarvis AI couldn't go through the Wakanda force fields.
That was the dumbest thing.
So they let down the force fields and then raised them up. That was a smart plan. And then so he endeared himself to all the people by, you know, jumping into battle with them on the back of a rhino. I was like, okay, what a tribe. Okay, Thor Milaje.
And then Queen Ramonda's out there just killing everything.
For T'Challa. I was like, period. And then this whole episode, it just, first of all, finally he kills the king. Or does he kill the king? I can swear he does.
I don't remember. I don't think he kills the king, but I know, no, he doesn't kill the king because then
Shuri. That's when he's like, I'm a loyal servant of Wakanda, of course. And then he gets the heart-shaped herb.
Yes.
And it becomes the Black Panther or the Golden Jaguar Black Panther suit or whatever that they were advertising it at. And we were like, we were all collectively like, please don't give this fool another nickname because Killmonger is already not a real name.
Yeah, he has fucking 14 names. But then Shuri, being the only smart person in all of Wakanda.
She's like 12.
She's like 12, and she's like, okay, this man is shady, y'all. Like,
so she ends up in Pepper Potts' office, and she's like, he killed my brother. And he killed Tony Stark, too. And then she's like, I knew it! So that's the end of that.
Oh, that's the end of the episode. Shuri shows up to Pepper Potts' office.
Oh, that's Party Thor.
Party Thor.
What if Thor was the only child? So
finally an episode I like.
Oh, my God.
It took this long.
Tell me why. So the Nexus event here was that Odin returned Loki to his family instead of stealing him. I didn't realize. I thought that he had been left out somewhere. But then I realized Loki was literally with that their prized item, the winter thing.
Yeah.
I was like,
the casket. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, why would they leave him there? I thought he'd been abandoned. But then I realized you don't leave your most precious item with something that you're abandoning. I was like, oh, so he's probably there for safekeeping. Odin just kidnapped him. And that brings a new layer to Thor 1. Because remember, Loki killed him. Laufey or whatever. Oh, and he was like, you were killed by the son of Odin. Like, he killed his father.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that's even more. Odin is the worst. I love you so much, Anthony Hopkins. Odin is the worst. Terrible. I'm glad that old bitch died. Father. Again, I love you so much, Anthony Hopkins.
But fuck Odin.
Fuck Odin. That bitch was in his Odin rest. Oh, because...
So what happens is because Thor
didn't grow up constantly on guard with Loki's bitch ass.
Yeah, and how he's an only child, so he gets to act up. He's turned into a huge asshole.
Be acting.
So, like, in Thor 1, how he was an asshole, multiply that by, like, 10 or 15, and that's what this Thor is. Like, all he wants to do is drink. He goes to different planets to turn up.
He be destroying the planets at that... Dr. Foster literally is, she rings the alarm. She's like, hey, there's some kind of astrological event happening. And I think it's connected to this. And this planet was destroyed. And
it got destroyed because Thor was partying on it. Like, that's the thing. That's the part that gets me. Because, okay, so Anthony Hopkins / Odin goes to his little Odin sleep like he does. Frigg goes to, she just wants to have a wine night with her little gals. That's all, but a wine night for an Asgardian's like fucking 10 years, you know. It's not a quick thing.
No, I think she said 100 years. I think Odin sleeps every 100 years or something.
Oh.
Because she said, she was like, okay, you guys, you have fun. So she's like, okay, Thor, stay here, you know, study, of course. Like, she's talking to him like he's 10. I'm like, how idiotic does this fool have to be for you to have to talk to him like this as a grown-up?
Well, Thor's only like 500, which is young in an Asgardian, you know, whatever. So he goes to party. She's like, okay, don't have a party. Don't have a house party. We got
Heimdall's going to be
watching you. Yeah. Heimdall, he kind of slips a little bit because Thor knows the back way out of the planet. And he goes to Earth to just act a fool, where he meets Jane Foster.
First of all, this fool lands in Las Vegas. And he, like, sends out a intergalactic
infight.
Yeah, he's like, everybody come party on Earth. So we see some characters. We see like Drax the Destroyer, some characters from Guardians of the Galaxy, like Andrew Gass, the Grandmaster, mm-hmm. and his
the Grandmaster, bestie, yeah.
Topaz.
Man, everybody.
Wait, did I remember his name? I never remember that name.
But so he, what happens? What happens? Basically, even Loki shows up, but Loki's obviously been raised with frost giants now, so this man's huge, and he's blue. But the whole premise, this one's actually doesn't have much of a plot to it, other than
Thor destroys.
Yeah, that's just the whole plot. He destroys planets by partying on them. But, so he meets Jane Foster, of course, because Jane doesn't hunt him on her business, and she's trying to find what caused this intergalactic event. That old nosy hoe. The intergalactic event is literally just the Rainbow Bridge, whatever the fuck
it's called. The Bifrost.
The Bifrost, yeah. That's all it is. Because that's how he gets to Earth, you know?
That's how he gets to everywhere. He really just be out here partying. So eventually, like, literally, Fury was going to, was trying to shut down the party because Fury was like, oh, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell up out of here.
That's exactly right.
That was that same energy.
And the whole time, Jane Foster's sitting there, like, completely obsessed with this man.
They get matching tattoos.
Yeah, like, science and cosmos.
Magic.
Kind of cute. Oh, magic, whatever.
She's got the magic tattoo. He's got the science one. I was like, perfect callback to Thor 2. Okay.
Yes. And he was explaining all like the systems like he does in Thor, you know? Like the Tree of Life or whatever the fuck it's called. Why can't I remember any of these names right now? I'm not doing hot. I promise I know what I'm talking about. Yes. I promise I know what I'm talking about. I'm just an idiot.
The funniest part of this, Director Fury gets knocked over, so he's unconscious. And because he's old.
He just gets knocked over. He's unconscious. He's very,
I think he gets knocked over by Korg from Thor 3, actually.
I think so. Because he's just trying to stop the party. And they're, you know, just wilding out. This giant alien's not going to hear you.
They are literally wilding out. So so Maria Hill is the acting director of S.H.I.E.L.D. And she has commandeered Jane Foster, her intern, and all their research. And she's like, listen, we got to get something done. And Jane Foster does not offer any helpful solutions. So she calls Miss Captain Marvel herself, Carol Danvers. So Carol goes to tell Thor, hey, you got to pack it up, buddy. Got to go on ahead, get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so Thor actually manages to get the drop on Carol. I was like, ah!
He had one lucky hit. It's just because of Mjolnir.
Yeah. That's it. And he literally was sitting up calling her a party pooper. And I was like, big ass blonde 10-year-old. I was so mad. I was upset at this.
And she even knocked him across the world. Literally. He lands in Africa or something. I don't remember where.
Yeah. At first they dropped somewhere in Africa. No. Then I think they went to France and they was literally hopping literally all the way around the world, whooping his ass up and down the world.
That's it. It was amazing. Not as good as it should have been.
So they come up with a different plan. They're going to nuke Thor. And
let's just go right there.
Dr. Foster, literally, she comes up with the best idea ever. I'm going to tell his mama.
Mm-hmm.
So she calls Frigg and literally...
She calls Heimdall. And then Heimdall's like, let me just send you to...
Heimdall said, nope.
She lands in fucking... to Bifrost with Heimdall. Then she's like, hi, I'm Jane Foster. He sends her right to Frigg. He's like, I'm not dealing with this.
Pass. The best part of it is Frigg is literally sitting there with all her friends. They haven't, you know, they have wine, cheese. Yes. You know, she's like, oh, is this a blah, blah, blah. I think she said a Chardonnay.
I don't remember. She was just having a good night with the gals.
But when I tell you Jane starts getting drunk, she had like about 3 glasses of wine. Like she kept refilling and was like, yeah,
this Guardian wine. This isn't normal wine.
Yeah, no. This is me, man.
Yes.
So she's sitting there. She's like, yeah, this is happening and Thor is doing this. So Frigg is not having it. She calls Thor immediately. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm here. She's like, oh my. He's like, oh my God, Jane sold me out. And she's like, oh, and why are you not in your room? And you know, he's like, oh, I'm on a cultural exchange. And then she's like, okay, well, when I come to Earth, like I'm about to do, I better see a lot of cultural and a lot of exchanging. So Captain Marvel's smart ass really tells him, okay, it's time to clean up the planet now. Start from the corners and work your way.
Because this is right before they had their big fight. Captain Marvel's about to go full force on this man.
But literally, she sees his mom call and eat his ass up. Exactly. And she's like, oh,
well, she stops mid-punch and she's like, your mom called you? She said, I don't have the time for this. It's not my business.
And so she gets her little quip out and is like, bye. And then Thor is like, everybody needs to help me clean up. And Loki is like, you my brother from another mother, but like, your mother isn't actually my mother. So I'm going to leave. That was cold.
Cold even for a frost giant. Even for a frost giant.
Man. So Thor is like, he's really freaking out. So he gets that Mjolnir. Swings it up into the air and he's like, listen to me, I am the god of thunder.
This was one of my favorite episodes. This one was actually just fun. There was no real plot in this.
Yeah, so they get everything cleaned up, and Thor is pretending to host a study group with, like, all the Asgardians, and they're like, hello, Mother Frigga.
Because Frigg shows up very last second.
Yeah, when I tell you she was traveling the Bifrost, like, in the Superman pose, chin up, upset, she was like, oh, I done had to come off my vacation to deal with this.
She even says that to the girl before she leaves. She goes, sorry, I have to leave early again.
See y'all in another 100 years.
And this all happened within, like, a week or 2 weeks. Like, he's been down here partying for some like a time. Week. Yeah. It's a mess. I felt bad for Frigg. I bet she's just trying to have a wine night with the gals. But that's kind of how it ends. Actually, it ends with...
Well, everything's turned up. The story ends, like, the Watcher's like, okay, everything in this universe has been put to rights. He's like, this is the beginning of their love story. Like, because Thor and Jane... Well, Jane agrees to go on a date with Thor. Like, a real date. And she's like, this is the beginning of their love story. Like, everything, you know, everything is going happily ever after. Ooh.
And then there's a break in the sky, like some portal opens up.
And bitch ass Ultron and some Ultronettes are right there. And I was like, what? And he's like, ooh.
It's Ultron with all the Infinity Stones. And then he takes off his little mask and his Vision's body, who has the Mind Stone. And that's how it ends. So the last two episodes, I think we'll just kind of put into one because this was just like one long episode.
Yeah. So episode 8 was what if
Ultron won. Yeah.
So basically, if Ultron won...
And episode 9 is what if the Watcher broke his oath. But we're just going to do these two episodes together, because it's just one long episode.
So, Ultron won. They weren't able to stop the nukes and shit in time. So, he nuked the entire world. The Avengers died, and so did almost everybody. Because Ultron fully believes that the... First of all, he was on the internet for 0.2 seconds and believed that all humanity is evil.
And he wasn't wrong. So, the nexus point in this one is when... They don't stop Ultron in time, and he gets Vision's body. And
with
Vision's
body with the Mind Stone. They steal the casket.
Okay, so yeah, in Age of Ultron, so he has Vision's body. He's basically unstoppable now because he's got the Mind Stone.
And he is literally going through the entire...
Oh, this was one of the funniest moments, though, is because he has destroyed the world at this point. He sent nukes on the world. That shit was insane. Everybody's dead. But then Thanos shows up with his little glove, and then Vision-tron gives him no time at all.
Just call him Ultron. He looks at him and he's like, oh, what are those? And he bisected him.
He did. He split him right in half with the Mind Stone.
What, vertically? Yeah, he vertically bisected him with the Mind Stone. And that pissed me off so much because I was like, Vision could have did that shit the whole time.
I laughed so hard.
Me too, but I was so angry.
No hesitation.
He was like, oh, meow.
That was so funny. Also, what pissed me off with this episode is that it starts off with the Watcher. He skips his little intro in every episode and whatever. And he goes, this is the most heartbreaking blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what, not the zombies? Not whenever all the adventures. This is what broke your heart? Ultron 1? They're like, we're missing a few steps there, Mr. Watcher.
Like, first of all, you basically didn't give a shit when Peggy had to go to the future with the tentacle monster.
Exactly. Or give a shit whenever Doctor Strange destroyed the entire universe.
Like, yeah, because that universe is just one person now.
Yeah, but that's going to break your heart? What even happens? Basically, Ultron won. That's the whole thing. And then Natasha and Clint are the only two survivors, which is like, how did that happen? How are they the only ones?
Because they're two spies. Honestly, I believe if anybody could survive an apocalypse, it would be the two people who are trained in Hyde.
But not all these, like, all these little hillbillies out here with their underground bunkers. You're telling me this Russian spy and Clint Barton are the ones to live? Clint lives on a farm in, like, Missouri.
That's just in the MCU. I firmly believe...
This is the MCU.
Listen, I firmly believe that comic book Clint could survive the apocalypse, but he would do it horribly. Like...
He did this kind of horribly, too.
Like, he was ready to... This is the first time we've ever seen the Watch... Like, when the Watcher finally feels like, okay, at this point, I really need to start intervening, because Ultron has seen him. When Ultron comes into power, he turns... The Watcher is literally narrating. He's like, who said that? And he turns around and he's like, ooh.
Because this is after Ultron had destroyed everything. So he just had time to reflect. Because he very Jean Grey-like went around destroying planets. Mm-hmm. Like, just like the Dark Phoenix. What the hell? This shit was ghetto.
Or like the anti-life equation. Like, he literally was like, and now the entire galaxy is at peace.
So this one robot went around and destroyed the whole galaxy. So thanks a lot, Tony Stark, once again.
And Bruce Banner. Don't let him slip off that.
I'm letting Bruce slip. This one was all Tony. Remember, he talked Bruce into it. So that happens.
Bruce Banner want to be in the Illuminati so bad.
He does. He wants to be like the founder of the Illuminati. And if he keeps it up with Tony Stark, he will be. But anyway, so he's reflecting now that the entire galaxy has been destroyed.
And the Watcher spoke, and he said, er.
Yeah, because I guess he elevated to a new level of consciousness. But again, you're a robot. You have limits. Mind stone, two mind stones or not, you have limits.
I mean, that was the purpose of the vision body, though. Even there are no strings on him.
So, he finds the Watcher. The Watcher's like, oh, fuck.
Well, he doesn't exactly find him. He sees him. He's like, okay, I'm looking for you. But he looks, when he looks and makes eye contact with the Watcher, and he's like, how is this possible? Holy shit. He's like, oh, there's an entire multiverse out there. Like, the way that the guy who plays Ultron talks is so uniquely funny. It feels like a hug with somebody who makes you uncomfortable.
Like, where my hug at? Hug in the
where he grabs Draco Malfoy.
And he's like, and like weirdly
breathing. That hard breath.
Yes.
Yes.
Very, okay, yeah. So, you know, he kind of discovers the multiverse that way, though.
He's like, ooh. And then, so Black Widow, like, she, first of all, he's like, Clint is all beaten. And he's like, I don't want to fight anymore. And I was like, bitch, there's only two of you. First of all, if you don't want to fight anymore, kill yourself.
Listen, if I had to live through a nuclear apocalypse that killed the whole world, I don't want to live either.
First of all, I already told you, if there's any kind of apocalypse, I'm going on the first wave. And if I don't, I will be so angry because my will to live is too strong. So I know I will probably fight that until the very end. I will be so angry.
And you know who else doesn't fight it? Fucking Clint Barton.
Because they have this whole plan. Like, the Watcher is like, okay, everything that you need is here. They go to the KGB headquarters in Moscow. So when the Watcher is like, okay, I could intervene. I could tell them, no, you're almost there. And Clint Barton is looking through a box of files.
He's literally like two away.
Yeah. And then it says like Arnim Zola. And I was like, oh, that's the one. That's the one. You need that one. So Natasha, like when he's about to give up, he's like, no, this is what humanity is about. Like hope, perseverance. Like the Watcher is like, bitch, don't give me a pep talk. Help me. And like Clint literally collapses in front of the box. And he's like, and I'm like, drop the box on him, fool. Do something. Make the, you know.
Anything.
Make the file fall out.
Yeah, something.
Make the shelf slip. There were options here, Mr. Watcher. And Natasha is like, no, Clint, we got to keep going. So she starts flipping through Clint's box. And then we're like, yes, okay, plot's back on. And she pulls the Arnim Zola file out, like, immediately. She's like, ooh.
And they don't even explain what Arnim Zola is, but he's basically
They do.
They very briefly touched on it.
No, they explained it. She's like, yeah, he was a Nazi. He was a Hydra scientist. Who did blah, 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 blah. There's these copies of him and he could invade like any system. Me and Steve met him at Camp Lehigh, the original siege of
the Arnim Zola. He's the person, he was a Hydra scientist who ends up converting his consciousness into a computer program. So he can kind of take over any computer. That's what his whole thing is.
And there are only a couple of there's only one version of him left now. Since
it's all on a floppy drive.
Yeah.
Because you know, he's not on the computers anymore because Ultron took over all computers.
Yeah, so they use him to make a virus and they're trying to get into the Ultron mainframe. So they infect one and Hawkeye, like, sacrifices himself. But he didn't really sacrifice himself. Bitch, that was a suicide.
That was a suicide because this was the same fucking little bunker that they were in Civil War.
No, it wasn't the same one.
Yeah, it was. No. Whenever they were crawling up through the thing, that was in Civil War at the end.
Oh, that wasn't Civil War. Oh, because where the super soldiers were. I thought when you said Civil War, for some reason, I was thinking Winter Soldier. And I was like, that was not the same one. It literally got destroyed.
Yeah, that one got destroyed. I think this one got destroyed, too.
It did, because Clint blew it up with himself inside. Like, there were other options, Mr. Barton. Like, you did not have to pick that.
Yeah, so they just have a bunch of Ultrons come up here, and they're just going to put Arnim Zola into...
One of the bots,
through one of Clint's arrows. Which works.
He has an arrow for everything.
Because it doesn't work because, you know, Ultron... Because
Ultron is not in... He's like, as long as Ultron is in the universe, it should work. And then they were like, oh, it looks like he's in another universe. And
he's in the middle of the multiverse thing where the Watcher is. Which, again, doesn't make sense because that's outside of time and space, which they explain in Loki. The fucking... What are they called? Infinity Stones don't work outside of time and space.
I really thought they just meant that they didn't work in the TVA. Because they said all powers don't work in the TVA.
Yeah, but the TVA is outside of time and space, which is how they explain that. And it's like, how are you going to...
Because where they just said powers didn't work.
Unless maybe the multiverse where the Watcher is...
Because the Watcher can use his powers.
Well, that's what he's the Watcher. They're a whole celestial being that
But I think there. Also, having the Infinity Stones in his little Ultron vision body, and he, for some reason, he had his vision body, but he was wearing the Ultron body on that's top, like armor. Yeah. I didn't like that, because you're a robot. What you need armor for?
It was just also a bad, ugly design.
It was hideous. Especially because, like, you know how in Thor 3, how Hela would literally smooth that stupid helmet down her back and, like, the whole armor would fall out?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he kept doing with this damn Ultron face. It was coming down. I was like, okay, Lord High Necromonger. And
even still, even if, like, hypothetically he could use the Infinity Stones there, he's still just a robot. He's nothing, he's not this huge godly creature.
Vision is alive, technically.
Technically, with the power of the Mind Stone.
Yeah, so he's got the Mind Stone, the Reality Stone, the Soul Stone, the Time Stone. I don't know.
It didn't make any sense. And he is literally just a robot. It doesn't get farther than that.
He is just a computer program anyway, with the Mind Stone.
So
how are you going to sit here and, like, beat the shit out of the Watcher? You can't. Because the Watcher is one of the most powerful things ever. You're just Ultron.
So by the end of the episode, literally this fool breaks through the multiverse and he's in the Watcher's realm. And he's like, oh! I know it ain't the stale. Yeah.
It's kind of nice in here. I might stay a little bit. Nice. Because now his programming has, like, altered again to destroy the entire multiverse because humans are bad in every universe. Wow. That was creative.
I was like, wow. Okay. And so he starts breaking through the other worlds, like Party Thor to... not Captain Carter, because Captain Carter is in her Winter Soldier bag. Like, she's fighting Batroc or whatever. That guy who's got beaten up by Steve and Sam and now Peggy. Yeah, so...
that one, he's like, I thought you were a fighter who couldn't... You don't need your shield, blah, blah, blah. And he, like, puts his gun down. And she's like, I can dance.
Because I would never do that.
I was like, that was a good
Because I'm like Captain Marvel. I don't have anything to prove to you. When I would hit him with that shield so quick... bang!
I thought she was going to. She's bang. Captain Carter. I thought she was just going to be like, oh, your gun's... Throws the shield.
First of all, I still don't like that she uses the shield instead of a gun. Because I'm like, Peggy is...
a sharpshooter, if nothing else.
When I tell you, if I was Peggy, I'd keep that thing on me.
She doesn't have the same morals that Steve has. She knows what she is, and she's going to do it.
I watched Agent Carter Season 1. Peggy kills 74 people.
Because those are not she exactly is a sharpshooter.
One thing she gonna do
is shoot.
When it comes to a gun, baby, she gonna have it.
And she not gonna miss either.
What's funny is that Steve shoots people too. Like, I don't know where people come up with this idea that, like, Captain America and Superman don't kill people. Because I'm like, they absolutely do.
It's the same thing that they did with Batman. I think they all kind of gone off of Batman's I don't use guns thing. But Batman even uses guns.
Batman doesn't use guns. They're just, like, weapons. They might as well be guns.
Listen, you don't mean the guns on the front of his fucking Batmobile that he has used to kill multiple people.
Listen, that was in the Christian Bale movies.
And it's in the comics. He has, like, little turrets on the front of his...
Yeah, but they're not guns. I assume they're rubber bullets that he's using to kill people.
if that rubber bullet hits me, I better die.
First of all, can you imagine trying to sue... I'm suing the whole city of Gotham if I get hit by a rubber bullet from Batman.
That's funny, because what did you do? I sold a bag of weed, I'm sorry.
Listen, I jaywalk. Shit. That motherfucker came out of the sewer. Scream! Pop, pop, pop!
Oh my god. Anyways, where were we at?
Peggy is battling Batroc or whatever. I never bothered to commit his name to memory. Yeah, yeah. And okay. You see all the various, like, what Killmonger is about to get caught. Like, literally, the Wakandan army, I think the Dora Milaje are running down the hallway. They're like, he must be tried under Wakandan law. Mm. And then blah, 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 blah. And what else was happening? Natasha is sitting there looking hopeless. I mean, the one from the post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
Oh, also, Peggy and Natasha, they're living their best lives. Like, they're...
Oh, they're like BFFs in this other
It's like Captain universe. America, the Winter Soldier. Yeah. She even has, like, a Winter Soldierized Captain Carter outfit, which is cool. Then we got T'Challa as Star-Lord saving Peter Quill from Kurt Russell and his Dairy Queen.
And Party Thor. He gets Party Thor. Who was just beating the shit out of all these Ultron bots that have
and loudly complaining. He's like, we were supposed to go on a date. Yeah. Oh my god.
You've ruined my date with Jane. And the Watcher can't get his attention. Because what's happening right now is the Watcher's picking up all these people.
He picked up a random Gamora. He said Gamora, the survivor of Sakaar, who defeated Thanos. Like, and she's there with Iron Man, weirdly.
Yeah, because they're in that, whatever that place is called with Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, the Heart of the Star, the Dying Star, yeah. I think, where...
they were creating, like, a Infinity Stone Crusher. Is that what they were creating there?
No, I think they were destroying something there.
I don't know. Either way, they didn't explain who this Gamora was. She just popped up, and it made me sit there like, did I miss an episode?
And this is beautiful. Like, she has this beautiful armor. Yes. She's literally slaying. And
but she's also in, like, all of the previews. Like, she's on all the promotional posters. So why? Yes. Because she has, like, Thanos' huge sword thingy. But, like, look, she's right there with, like... But they never explained
who this is. And there's Spider-Man!
Yes!
Oh, one of the things that we were talking about before we started recording was that one of the biggest promotional things that they did, they kept showing Spider-Man wearing Doctor Strange's cloak, which is alive. That was in the zombie episode. You think they're going to do an episode where they're like, what if Spider-Man was the Sorcerer Supreme or something like that? But no, it was literally just him wearing Strange's cloak.
Yeah.
So the Watcher, you know, Uatu, he's literally gathering the Guardians of the Multiverse, which a lot of people thought that name was so corny, but I think it's cute, but it's really corny.
It was ghetto. That was a dumb name.
It's cute, but it's horrible. Guardians
of the Multiverse. Whatever. So that's all of them, right?
Guardians of the Galaxy is tight.
Oh, Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah. Doctor Strange, who's the only person left in his universe, he's like, hey, I need you. But I think he gathers Doctor Strange first and then Captain Carter. He tells all of them, like, hey, you've been chosen. He literally cannot get Thor's attention. He's like, Thor, Prince of, he literally has to pick Thor up and shake him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Thor's like,
But I'd like to think that him and Doctor Strange are just kind of existing in this little alternate pocket, you know, because Doctor Strange's whole universe is gone. So I just felt like they were
buddies. You're wrong. No. His whole universe isn't gone. He destroyed his whole universe.
He did destroy his whole universe. But it's gone. So yeah, I thought they were just kind of buddy-buddy right there.
Yeah, so...
That's how I've imagined this.
So he's literally, like, looking at all the Guardians of the Multiverse. They take, like, 2 seconds. These are all some get-up-and-at-em people. Except for I don't know why Party Thor was there. I honestly don't understand why the fuck Party Thor was there.
Party Thor is not even the strongest Thor. There is so much better
I want Thor. Eyepatch Thor.
Eyepatch Thor is good. Where was Captain Marvel? That would have been one of my first picks. Where was Wanda post... any mental breakdown.
I was like, first of all, I want pre-Westview Wanda. I want Wanda who just screaming and yelling.
I want the Wanda who no more mutants Wanda. I want to get that one. That's the one I want on my team. No control of your power, but she knows what she's doing, kind of, you know?
No, because I don't even understand how she made the Avengers roster, her or her raggedy ass brother.
I don't know. This team didn't really make much sense. What was Gamora doing here?
Gamora was there because she knew how to crush the Infinity
Stones. Oh, right. She had the Infinity Crusher. What was Captain Carter doing there?
Leading. Not me, literally, I'm defending her place in this, and I thought that episode was so stupid.
This hoe didn't do nothing. I mean, she did, at the end, she distracted Ultron. Put on. Yeah, she did. But it didn't make any sense. If these are the ones you were going for, there's a lot of different old, you know, whatever, they saved the universe, so.
They all banded together, and then, okay, so after the universe is saved, tell me, oh, and Killmonger, they got Killmonger too.
We forgot about him.
Yeah, so tell me why Killmonger showed an interest in the Ultron robots, and he was like playing with it the whole time. I was like, what is he finna do? Tell me why, as soon as they killed Ultron, Ultra Vision. As soon as they killed him, Killmonger, like, touched the Ultron suit with the Infinity Stones. Oh,
Armin Zola, it did become important in this one. Because Natasha, like, shoots an arrow at the main Ultron. Because that has the fucking virus in it, which is Armin Zola. And then that's when he, like, kind of takes over his body for a minute. Because he's a virus at this point. So he takes over Ultron Vision, whatever. Takes over his body. That's the only thing Captain Carter did this whole time, was that she distracted him long enough so that way Natasha got a perfect shot.
And they had a callback. Well, I feel like it's unfair that, like, Captain Carter and Black Widow were able to be actual friends or, like, I don't want to say actual friends, but, like, have a more friendly relationship than Steve and Natasha got to have in The Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I think it was just, like, I interpreted it as, like, girl bonding.
I was like, period, girl boss.
Yeah, exactly. But that's all that really happens. But Doctor Strange is there.
They do a callback to what they did earlier in this episode.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When they're like, oh, when it was like Widow and Captain Carter, and they were like, oh, I got the shield, you got the sword, and she's like, well, really, I got the knives, and she's like, okay, girl, but you understand, you get the metaphor.
You get the metaphor.
They did it again, and she was like, I got the shield, you got the sword, and Natasha's like, well, actually, I got an arrow, and she was like, if you don't, just go with this girl.
Exactly.
Literally, so, okay, so the whole episode happens. Killmonger has flipped on them, so he takes all the Infinity Stones. Again,
who's shocked?
Yeah, this is his 8th double cross. This is his octuple cross. So he's
also, none of these people were even strong enough to be fighting this Visiontron They weren't. Nobody was really doing any damage to him. Even Doctor Strange with all his magic, air quotes.
And Doctor Strange put a protection spell on them, so they weren't
all... That's the only thing this man did right. Well, no, that's not fair, because he put... We'll get back to that at the end.
No.
He did two things right this episode.
Killmonger, literally, when he was double-crossing them, he made the Vision Tron suit so he could hold all the Infinity Stones himself. He's like, you guys, we could change anything about our realities that we want to. And we could do this. And Doctor Strange has literally been there, done that. So he's like, no. And the rest of them, they're all like, no. Mm-hmm. And he starts using white people terms to appeal to Peggy. That was what I thought was so funny. He was like, Peggy, you could be with your fella. I was like, sir.
Not his fella.
You don't talk fella. Like that.
And... Oh, the whole plan was to, like, remove the stones from Ultron, which doesn't work.
Well, they did do it, and, like, to put them in the Infinity Crusher. But yeah. Here's the thing. They were calibrated for the universe that Gamora was in.
Yeah.
There were those Infinity Stones. We learned, actually, from the Loki show, like you said, that, and from The Watcher, that the Infinity Stones are all slightly different in every universe.
Yeah.
So they were...
So how is it working in this universe?
Fun fact, it didn't.
It didn't. So the Crusher didn't work because that didn't have the right levels of kill destruction or whatever on these stones. Whatever.
They weren't the same stones. So they weren't. It wasn't right. Ultron. Literally, when they finally kill Ultron, it was like, Killmonger is going to. It was like, ha ha ha. And then Armin Zola pops up like, surprise, you bitch. Thought. Did you forget me?
And then they're both battling over the stones at this point. And then Doctor Strange kind of creates another pocket multiverse thing.
Where they're sitting there battling over the stones for the all rest of eternity.
That's insane.
And he's literally sitting there watching them.
Like, but if you had this kind of magic, where were you before? Like, nothing adds up. Like, these magic levels are so different every fucking minute just because they wanted to make a story and it's dumb. This whole thing, there was no concise story to this.
Listen, like I said, I was watching this with our flatmates, Georgie and Tom, so I was really, like... Well, I think it was better to watch it with more people because I had a more positive attitude. We thought at one point that the whole thing was going to be... we thought that the whole thing ended on episode 8, and so we were all just angry for like 30 seconds. We're like, that can't be where that ends. I'm not watching season 2. Blah, 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 blah. And then it started loading up the next episode. And we're like, hold on, there's another one. Okay.
Yeah.
So I feel like all in all...
It did have a happy ending.
Yeah. That's really all we can ask for.
It put everybody back in their own place, except Natasha, because she's in a post-apocalyptic Ultron world, and where she was like, the only survivor.
And
so
she
then
says, no, I'm not going back there.
She refused, flat out.
Period.
I was like, that's right, stand up to the Watcher. He didn't even join in this fight.
But here's
he watched.
And Doctor Strange literally was talking to him. He was like, oh, so you foresaw that this was going to happen the whole time. And he said, and did.
And will. Oh, Doctor Strange now has to guard this little pocket.
He said, I'll watch. You know, I ain't gonna have all the time in the world.
He said, I've already destroyed my universe. What am I gonna do? But he at least puts Natasha in a different universe where
Wait,
Natasha
no, no,
had
before
died.
That, we have to talk about what he said to her. Because she's like, you don't care. We're all just stories to you. And he's like, no, your stories mean everything to me. Which I thought was genuinely sweet. Because, you know, we talked about in our last What If episode, why the Watcher for Earth, why he watches into the different multiverses and why he's so invested in the stories.
Because he brings up his popcorn. He's having a good old time.
Don't make it sound like he's sitting up eating popcorn. That was such a sweet thing to say. And also, maybe I was receiving it better because it was Jeffrey Wright. And I love Jeffrey Wright. And I think he's like the best American actor ever. So there's that. And then we're like, okay, he puts Natasha in the universe where the only storyline that didn't... There are two storylines that didn't get resolved at all. The zombie storyline, where you do see the zombies fall down and hit Ultron. But they don't... No follow-up on that reality at all, because none of the Guardians of the Multiverse are from there. So
we don't need that one.
We need to know what happened. I hope they didn't bring... Don't bring your ghetto to Wakanda.
What else? Oh, and the one where Loki wins.
Yes, where the Earth's Mightiest Heroes have been destroyed by Hank Pym from episode 3. And Loki takes over. So they put Natasha in there. And this is Natasha who's already lived through the Battle of Manhattan. When I tell you, she comes in and hits the Loki with that ding!
With the scepter. And that's how it ends. Because it's a happy ending for Natasha, at least. She gets to go back into a world that she kind of knows.
Yeah. Kind of. And yeah. Fury tells her, like... he's like, you're not our Natasha, but I see that you have her same fire. I thought that was sweet, too, that because sweet. Fury and Natasha they obviously like each other the most, so.
How would you rate everything? Like, would you, like, recommend the show to people?
Hell no.
I wouldn't. I thought this was the dumbest shit. You waited for like 9 episodes for the last, again, what Marvel has been doing with their shows. It's like you wait for the very end for it to be even slightly remotely interesting.
I was interested from the beginning, like the Star-Lord episode. I like it when they go more high concept, like, oh, what if T'Challa became Star-Lord? Like, stuff like that is so interesting and funny just to see, like, where the path of the universe can change and, like, divulge. I was like, okay, okay, okay. Oh, one thing I didn't mention in the last episode, when Killmonger betrayed them, he was like, cousin, please. And he's like, I'm not your cousin.
Yeah, he said, I don't know you.
He's like, first of all, I'm not your cousin. Second of all, I already killed my cousin, so we don't want to go down that path.
Yeah, but I don't think this show was...
I don't think it
was... They had a good idea with this.
Then, and when you do a what-if story, like, you could say, what if anything?
Nobody wants to see...
And your first episode was white feminism. What if Peggy stayed in the room? Okay, that was lean in. Thank you for that lean in.
And you still made that episode about Steve Rogers.
He said, oh, and speaking of, at the end of what if... they're on that little ship. I don't know what they were looking for in Winter Soldier, but they found something different. It was the Hydra Stomper. And she's like, and somebody's inside. Black Widow told her because she, you know, she's a real bitch.
Yeah. So they're obviously, I think all these things that didn't end up, they're going to put into a season 2 because Marvel loves to milk people for money. That's just how it is.
Yeah, like they're doing Agatha Harkness show that doesn't need to happen. But I'm happy that Catherine Hahn will be getting her back.
We're happy for Catherine Hahn, and that's it. But yeah, so...
that really is all for this week's episode of True Believers.
Thank you all for listening and all this continued support. We'll see you next Wednesday, October 20th, where we'll be talking about Green Lantern Legacy and one of DC's comics' new cultural anthologies, Festival of Heroes.
We're available on all major streaming platforms except for that Planet from Avatar. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and continue sharing with your friends. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, as you know now, we really do take suggestions. You can find and DM us on Instagram and Twitter at True Believers Pod and at True Believers P respectively. Or you can even email us at onetruebelieverspod@gmail.com. And
yeah.
That's
thanks,
all.
Guys. Sorry this episode was kind of rushed. We literally just moved countries, so we are doing our best. So thank you all again for listening. It really doesn't mean a lot because we are trying right now. But, all right, bye.
Bye.